It's been a while since I've posted one of these podcasts. Last one was about SBF, and a lot has changed there, but it's no longer of interest. And it's kind of interesting because news is kind of like that. I mean, people say news is cyclical, meaning it kind of runs in a cycle. And the reason for that cycle is because of interest waning and interest opposite of waning. Waxing? That's what moons do. They wane and wax. I don't know if that's what the news does. I don't know if that's how you would describe that. But nonetheless, my interest in things shifts, as it probably does for many people. So I will be talking about something else that... And the thing about news for me is I'm always late to it. I'm not necessarily late to getting the news, but I'm late to digesting it because I have to think past what I see. And that's just an interesting thing about news and the information age that we live in. You know, the World Wide Web, the information superhighway. That's what we have access to. We have access to everything. And not everything is true. There is a lot of news out there. And I would say it's the people that talk about there being more fake news. I think those are the people that consume the most fake news. It's very interesting because, you know, there are examples in mainstream media where there is a serious lack of transparency or truth, or just, you know, a single journalist not having the moral compass or the full information, but releasing that information anyways because they have a job with deadlines and they have some outside pressures. So the opposite of that is what we have now, where we have journalists with no pressure externally, and they have their set of facts. So anyone can be like a news anchor now because of YouTube, because of this. And that, you know, right off the bat, some people label this as good and some people label this as bad, as having the option for this. Because for me, I actually see a real negative side of everybody being able to talk, because what happens is then anyone can get listened to. And there's a lot of people out there with bad ideas. There's a lot of people with advice that is not advice for you. It might be advice for them in their individual circumstance and with their own personal beliefs, but they are different people than you are. And yet people will give advice. They love to give advice. People give advice in all sorts of different ways. And the reason I'm thinking so deep about this and the personalities that we see online give us information is because of a recent, like I said, it takes me a while to digest the news, a recent thing that happened on YouTube, which is people getting called out for promoting certain businesses. And right now we're heading into a recession, and we're feeling a recession, and there's a lot of businesses that maybe could have built into something legitimate, or they were just straight up illegitimate, and we see people losing on those, basically Ponzi schemes, pyramid schemes, schemes, accumulating money for not much of value, of worth, basically. And it being talked up in some way of having more value than it really has. One example of this is definitely FTX. Another example of this is, what is the brand? Oh, what is the company? This is how much I don't pay attention to people's ads and how ineffective ads are for me. Or just how bad my memory is, one or the other. Luckily, I don't need my memory when I can just look something up online. Established titles. A lot of people have been getting flack for promoting established titles, having not just promoting, but doing a paid sponsorship. Let's think about advertisements for a second in general and where they've gotten to in feeling personal, because they come from somebody that we follow online and that we think that we are personal with. advertisements are always attached to a form of media that is that there's attention to, and there can be specific attention. You know, there's a different reader for the Wall Street Journal than there is for the Washington Post, for the New York Post, New York, you know, the New Yorker. You know, all these different. How many newspapers or media outlets should I list off here as an example? There's a lot. And it goes for, you know, we can go back in time, you know, print paper. You see an article and right beside it, you see an ad. It still exists. The newspaper still exists. Imagine that. But it exists on a website as well. And if you go to any website and you see banner ads, that's a form of advertisement. Now, should the company be exactly responsible for what they're advertising? Well, no, because it goes through a third party, and that third party has kind of general vague descriptions of what can be advertised as a banner ad. So they're taking responsibility. So, okay, so is it their fault? Well, no, because it's a whole team, and it's, you know, we do a well enough job, and yeah, maybe there's some things that are undervalued and overhyped on these advertisements, but maybe not. So they have their own set of guidelines. Now, for some reason, we expect that when we hear advice, when we hear an advertisement from a YouTuber or an influencer of any kind, that we should trust them over a banner ad. How much education do they have in that product? What is their reason to promote it? Is it because they genuinely actually think it's going to be good for you? Do they know who you are? Do they know if a product or service is actually going to be good for you? They might have a rough idea of their target, you know, demographic, but they're basing it off of themselves. And they are also influenced by a large amount of money. They receive a large amount of money for what they do, which is advertising. And if we look in there, you know, advertiser, it kind of sounds a lot like advisor. If we look at those two words, you know, an advisor is advising somebody, and I just tried to define a word with its own word, but they are looking, supposed to be looking out for the best interest, and they are hoping to help that person make a choice. That's basically what an advisor does. An advertiser is and probably trying to do that same thing, but there's a little trickery in there, because how can they give you advice when they don't know who you are? An advisor, it's supposed to be, you know, much more personal than just a broad advertisement. If you have 1 million followers, you have no idea what these people's financial situations are. If you're advertising a product, you know, a pair of headphones, you have no idea if they have a pair of headphones, if the pair of headphones that you're advising them to buy are better than the headphones or that they already have, or that it would actually work well for them. You know, people's ears fit differently, headphones fit differently, people have different preferences. You know, it's the same thing. So as a creator, you have no real idea of who your audience is. Now, you can still advise them and all that, and you can kind of pretend you know, and that's basically what you do. And you might have some general idea of what would work for them. But the thing is people will move further and further away from what they think is actually advisable for their audience as soon as more and more money comes into the picture. There are people getting huge sponsorship deals for products and services that they don't necessarily 100% think that every one of their audience should get this item or service. And yet we hold them up to a higher standard. So it's very interesting. But basically what I'm trying to say is, if you buy something that somebody advises over the internet, then you are doing nothing more than seeing a billboard or reading a print ad or clicking a banner ad and buying something from that. It has no idea what you want. And we can, you know, we know about targeted ads. We know about the machine learning, the AI, the amount of data they have on you. They know you better than you know you. They know you better than your wife knows you, your husband knows you. And maybe that's true, but it's only true in a way where they use that information to sell you things. Do you need things? Or do they need money? And are they preying on things that you want? Because a want and need, oh, there's a thin line right there. You don't need to be a lord or lady on your driver's license because you own a share of a plots of land in Scotland. Established titles is what I'm saying. You don't need a different pair of headphones. You don't need a lot of things that are advertised to you. So do not, what I'm saying is you need to be your best advisor. No one else is looking for your best out for your best interest more than you are. But there's a caveat to that. And this is another thing that there's a, you know, we can go down into definitions of what I'm going to get into here, but it's really hard to figure these out. We have, I'm getting deep on this. This is a tough thing to explain. There's also clear and less clear ways that advertisements might prey on you based on your mental state, whether you have a diagnosed mental illness or not, whether you know, it can be as simple as suffering from anxiety. It can be as simple as suffering from depression. There's going to be different types of advertisements that are going to advise you to spend your money on something because, they think they might have something that you kind of want or need. And let's be serious as well. There are things that are genuinely not good for us, but we develop a need for them. A clear examples can be how tobacco was heavily advised, and it turns out it's heavily addictive and actually doesn't really have any big benefits to it. And actually, it has a huge downside to it. It's very carcinogenic. So we can get into those. It's like not globally, but, you know, in a lot of ways, it's like we collectively said, yeah, let's not advertise that anymore. And so there's a lot less advertisement of that, of certain things that we deem bad, right? You know, it's like, so it does happen that the world at large will start to push out certain types of advertisement. YouTube is a very, in some ways, it's nice that the people have taken back power. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll advertise things that I 100% know on my one channel, Different Media, that I, you know, I'll take a sponsorship deal knowing full well that there's only a small percentage of people that actually their lives will become better by buying the product that I'm advertising. And there's potentially a part of that audience that it will actually be bad for. Just because even if it's just as bad as spending an extra $15 and not getting $15 of value from, that's a really minuscule kind of negative. You know, it's not going to tip the scale for these people. So it's all about kind of evaluating that. And you know, when you're advertising something that could cost people a ton of money, like a gambling site, like something that is actually like 100% going to lose people money because the house always wins, the majority of people are going to have a negative experience from that, and some people a huge negative experience from it, then like, yeah, that shouldn't be something that we advertise as individuals. And so, you know, the YouTube world, we expect all these individuals to make good decisions on what to promote, and we expect them to figure out things that align with their audience. But in this recent past, there has been a lot of bad actors with a lot of money. They've been able to convince investors that they are good at what they do, and yet they are not. And they might be trying to figure it out, or they might just be like, whatever, who cares? So what I'm saying is, do not invest in a Ponzi scheme. Do not become a degenerate gambler. Do not start smoking tobacco. Do not buy an established titles thing. Probably don't even buy anything from the videos that I sponsor. You know, I have an ad for Anchor in front of here. I don't know if starting a podcast will be a good thing for you to do, but this is the information, and they're paying me to tell you that information. I'm not saying you should go start a podcast. I'm only saying, hey, Anchor has the ability to host for free, and it's what I use, and that's the truth. And if that is important to you more so than the fact that there's data issues with them, where they basically like own what you create in some respect, or something like that, I don't know. It's like they own like the underlying data of what you've said, but it's like you also own it, and so it just doesn't matter. There you go. I said all that in 30 seconds at the beginning of this podcast, if you're listening to it. And I promote things on my different media channel, and I'll try to just really be truthful and honest and say the facts. And there has been about an equal amount. Maybe I've done a little more, but I would say I've done about 60% of the sponsorships that have actually sent me stuff this year. I would say 40% of the sponsorships, they've sent me things, they've sent me programs, and actually even one I did a little bit of, and I realized that it wasn't a suiting for my audience, and that nobody was receptive to it, and that it's not beneficial for either of us, and the money wasn't enough to like hawk it even though nobody's using it. Because just the effort of making it. So it just ended up not being a deal that I wanted in a different way. But I would say that 40% of the products and services that have been offered to me this year, I have declined, because I've received them and I've tested them and I said, this is not worth promoting. And I'm not going to make an ad that you're happy with, because I will say that it has got some serious problems. And I'll talk about its positives, because that's true as well, but I will talk about the negatives, because that's just the truth. Yeah, and I don't fully express my feelings. I mean, that's the other thing too, is I can, like, even in the reviews that I've done, like I've done some e-bike reviews this year for different media, and in there, I might have been more enthusiastic in the way that I present. So this is another subtle way that I might be, you know, that somebody might try to sell you something, right? So I present a real positive light on all the positive things. And with the negative things, I'll be a little more subtle. I'll be like, oh yeah, this horn is an interesting sound. And then it's like, meh! And it's like, that's not a good horn for a bike. But you know, I don't say all of that. I say, oh, this is an interesting horn. And just kind of like, I don't know. Like, it's an interesting sound, but it definitely works. You know, that is saying the truth, but it's in a subtle way, not presenting it as anything more than it really is. I don't have to shit on something just because it's not right either. I can bring it up that it's not right. And maybe that's a deal breaker for some people, maybe it's not. I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker for me. I'd say it's just, I just wouldn't use it. I use the little bing, 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 the manual bell on my bike as opposed to the electronic bell. So you have to, and that's the weird thing, is with YouTube, you get to decide. Like I just told you how I kind of present an ad. And so you can trust me with that if you see that. If you don't see that with me, if you only see me being positive all the time, then either I've that is how I feel. This is how it gets a little confusing, right? And a little, there's this weird, crazy gray area with influencer marketing, where people can be promoting things that they don't necessarily believe in. And there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that going on to a huge degree, because of the money. The money, who cares? Who cares what it is? Give me the money. And I love comedians for that. In a lot of their ads, they'll like, it's basically obvious they have no idea what the product is that they're talking about. And they're doing it for money, because what actually matters is not the ads. You should never buy ads. You should never buy anything. This is why it all comes back to, you should never buy anything that somebody is advertising you, especially on YouTube. It's just not, like, don't go out of your way not to. Buy something if it actually suits you and it's actually what you need in that moment. But as soon as you hear something, if you go over and buy it, you did not need it. You were convinced that you wanted it. That's pretty much it. Really just like sit on something and know that we all have different levels of being susceptible to marketing and advertising and those feelings that come up within us when we see something exciting. Ooh, I want to do that. I want to be that person. I want to do this. I want to do that. These are feelings, and some of them play out. You know, these are all bets. We have to bet on ourselves, and we have to figure out, that's why it's so important to know yourself. If you know who you are, if you know what you want more than who you are, because who you are just comes about by what you do. And what you say is what you do, what you want is what you do. Everything is part of what you do, because your actions are a physical manifestation of who you are mentally, who you are spiritually, how you feel, and where you are physically, and who you are physically, right? What you have around you physically, what ability you have to be yourself and to do. You know, some of us, all we do is press buttons in a repetitive way. And I would say that we can all do more than we are doing. And the reason I say that is not because of every single individual is, you know, they're not purposefully not being as good as they can be in the moment. I think everybody is doing what they can in the moment, but the moment is ever shifting. And the reason we can always do better than how we're doing right now is because of the future, because we exist in the next moment. And as we become aware that we exist in the next moment, we can do better. The only time we can do better is when we are aware of what is happening. So do we have that ability to create that awareness of what we are doing when we are hypnotized by the way somebody sells something, by the way somebody communicates something? Even an idea can be something that somebody's trying to sell you. I'm trying to express this, but my agenda, I mean, if I start to think about it, I start to think, okay, well, maybe I do think that the world would be better if more people thought this way. And then that translated into actions, because that's what I believe. So maybe there's a little, you know, there is a bit of that guiding me to say this. But the other reason that I'm trying to say this is because I think that it's valuable information. Now, I definitely just got lost in the sauce there. And I feel like I'm like getting meta on what I'm trying to describe. Like, it's like I'm going so deep into the layers because I feel like I am starting to become the person who's pitching something. And so I'm putting myself into the example, and like I feel like I'm living the example. It's very, very trippy. And I need to step out of that, because I'm just conveying information. I'm just expressing myself. I'm just doing what I think is best in this moment myself. I'm behaving the way that I believe is right to behave, and therefore I am doing my best. But to just top off that whole explanation of the potential that we all have, is we all have a future. If we believe and understand the idea of a future, You know, we all don't think that we're going to stop existing right this second. So we inevitably believe there's some future. Whether we are cognizant and thinking about that future is different for every single individual, the amount we think on it, the way we think on it. But if we can just understand that every day, in every moment of awareness, we can make a step forward. We can do better. That's the act of trying. That's the act of doing. That's the act of being. And that is the way you get to know yourself. There's a lot, you know, it's such a common question. And I think a large part of why individuals might be persuaded to consume is because they feel like they don't know themselves at some fundamental level. And it's because they don't know themselves, because they don't have anything to compare it to, possibly, or they don't have any knowledge that there's an existence within them they don't know. There's been no moment of awareness that things might be different than they seem. There's no self-reflection happening. You know, self-reflection is a very powerful thing. It's a transformative thing. I have seen people completely change because of self-reflection. Like, and sometimes it's guided reflection, but it's them doing it. It's them going deeper. Okay, understanding a little bit more about myself. And what do I do with that information? How do I process it? How do I incorporate what I've learned to create a better future for myself? I think that is ultimately the most important thing. And it's this weird thing that ties into society, and it shows itself in capitalism, actually, in the economic system of people always wanting to make more money, and them using that as a guidance of how they are doing. You know, a lot of people feel the way their bank account looks, and we are affected. Our mood is affected by that, and that's a variable that we know that does something. And so we strive to affect that variable. And it's given us a goalpost to run to, and it's given us a barrier to push past or to push forward. It's given us as linebackers that practice dummy where you ram into it and you try to push it forward with your, you know, because you're the defensive line. And that's probably my first ever football reference and analogy I've ever made. And but that gives us something as a society to strive towards. Now, the thing is we don't all value money that much. There's a lot of people who value a lot of different things than money. Money is just a stored value of time and effort and ability. Some people like being stripped away from that ability. You know, some people like putting themselves in a situation where they don't have that money. I'm thinking nomadic people. I'm thinking people who choose experiences over, and not just experiences, because you can buy experiences, but experiences you cannot buy. Now, these experiences are often tough, but they're real. It's like some people want that realness, and there's a sort of a cushion that comes with money. But we can never escape reality, of course. There's a lot of harshness, and I think that money is only part of that. I think that there's the cushioning in your mind that is created by not having novelty in your life, by things just becoming normal to you and you not stepping out of the world that you've created. So you start to formulate these crystallizational patterns, these patterns that are so concrete that there is nothing that can break them. You know, there's nothing as strong as concrete that is going to break them. Maybe diamond is, you know, that's another structure. And it's a tough one. It's tougher than concrete even. So that would be a better analogy there. But it's, you know, it's really important to consciously step out of those patterns, because that gives us new experiences. It gives us more information, and we can digest that and become a better version of ourselves. There's this constant building that we need to do. It doesn't just need to be in our bank accounts. It needs to be within ourselves. We need to constantly improve. And, you know, bodybuilders do it by progressively overloading and constantly working on their journals. And, you know, that's what I'm doing when I lift weights, because that is the most effective way to do it. And that's how I think about myself inside too, is constantly reaching and searching to create a better self through information and through knowledge. Knowledge. Ty Lopez entered the chat. My thing is not recording. Okay, well, this audio is terrible. I understand that. I'm sorry. Technical difficulties, everybody. I appreciate you all listening. Don't buy anything if it's sponsored. Click on my ads. Click on Anchor. I don't know. You don't have to click on Anchor. It's not pay-per-click, it's pay-per-listen. So just keep listening to the pod if you enjoy it. This is why I always get uncomfortable at these end kind of, these things you have to, what are they called? It's like when you gotta, doing plugs. Yeah, so that's why I always get uncomfortable doing plugs, is because that's when you're trying to sell something. You have no idea. You know, people will keep listening to your podcast, which is what I want you to do, if you enjoy it. So I hope you enjoy it. I've made this in a fashion that I believe is fun. I don't know. You tell me. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
On this show, you know, I've talked a lot about money. Investing is an interest of mine. Money is really important. It's a store of energy of ourselves, and basically we can use it to create in this world. We can make all these different things happen just because of the money that we either use, and the more you accumulate of it, the more you can create. And it's just, it's a fascinating subject, and it's a lot easier sometimes to actually save money than it is to make money. So today's sponsor is Mint Mobile. And if you're in the States and you have a cell phone, you can probably save a lot of money by switching to Mint. I mean, Mint has these plans. It's like $15 a month, unlimited calling, unlimited texting, 5 gigabytes of data. They have 4G, 5G plans. And for $30, you can get unlimited data included with that plan. And so it's like $30 unlimited data. And the internet is so powerful. We need to get on there. We need to learn. I mean, you're using the internet right now to listen to this, to download this. It's important to have. And you might be able to save a ton of money by switching to Mint. So check out the link in the description for Mint Mobile. And we get a kickback here. We get a small commission. So it really, really supports the show. It's super, super important to feel like I can actually do this and make a little bit of cash, this podcast. So it's going a long way, and it's really important for you to save money as well. So if you are spending too much on your mobile, go at least check it out. See if the coverage is good for you, if the service is good for you. And basically, it's a smart business as well. What they've done with Mint Mobile is they've basically done what more and more companies are doing to save money and to pass it on to consumers, which is not have a retail store. There's a lot of empty shopping malls out there in the world now because there's no need for companies like Mint Mobile to have a cell phone kiosk in the mall or whatever storefront. And so they can pass those savings from not having to rent and lease that space, not having to employ those people working there. They can employ people in a more concentrated fashion, so they can have less employees and serve more people, basically. And they do it all online, all through the internet, and the customer service is supposedly pretty good still. That's the other thing too, is you don't want to like lose things by switching to Mint Mobile. So I would just recommend checking them out, see if it's a fit for you. Basically, when I ever have a problem on my cell phone, I'm calling them anyway. I'm not going into a store. That's just, you know, you're just looking to get upcharged basically by going into a store anyway. So check it out. Links in this description, like I said.